Hey, this is Leo for Actualize.org, and in this video, I'm going to talk about positive attitude. All right, let's talk about how to develop positive thinking. And what I really want to tackle in this video, because I have other videos that talk about positive thinking and optimism, equally entitled Positive Thinking and Optimism, you might want to check those out. But what I want to talk about here is how do you actually cultivate a positive attitude? Because it's very easy, I find, to talk about positive thinking, to wax philosophical about positive thinking, to extol the virtues of positive thinking, and we all know that we want to be more positive, but then we just kind of fall back into our groove and we remain the negative selves, the critical selves, the judgmental selves, the worrying selves, the stressed selves that we've always been. So how do you actually do this? What I'm going to say in this video is actually that this is a very, very advanced topic. Very few people in life, I would say, actually have a true positive attitude. And of those people that do, many of them have it maybe because they were very fortunate with the way that they were raised, or because they had very good genetics. And genetics is a factor in actually your happiness and your mood set point. About 50% of it is genetic, so that can be an important factor as well. But ultimately, all we care about is what we can control. So the genetic side aside, you have to play with the cards that you were dealt. And so whatever cards you were dealt, how do you make the best of them? How do you create a positive attitude? And no matter how shitty your genetics are, or where you come from with your family background, or any kind of incidents and trauma that you've had in your life, it is possible to create a very, very strong positive attitude. But ultimately, I gotta be honest with you, it's not something that you're just gonna get from watching one video. Stop bullshitting yourself, all right? Positive thinking, people say, well, positive thinking, it's so airy-fairy and it's just wishful thinking. Actually, positive thinking can be a very hard-nosed, tangible thing. The only problem is that almost nobody approaches it that way, and nobody is very rigorous about their positive attitude. So here I'm going to talk about what it really takes to start to develop this. And I really started to realize it just in the last 6 months, because I've done so much personal development work, studying all these theories and all this stuff. And a lot of times I'll be able to put into place a lot of nice things for myself in my life externally. Like I'll get my money situation handled, I'll get the gym handled, I'll get a relationship handled. But then what I find is that I'm still not really positive on the inside. And the reason that is that because no external circumstance will ever make you a positive thinker. That's inner work you have to do, all right? So this is ultimately what it's going to take. It's going to take time. It's going to take months and years of work. So time and work, inner work to do this. No external circumstance is going to do it. If you think that you're just going to set your life up nicely around you, you're going to get a nice house, a nice car, a nice wife, and some other things that you're going to have in your life, that'll be nice. Maybe that'll even make you feel good for a while. Maybe it'll make you even feel good for a long time, but it's not going to make you a true positive thinker. It's not going to get you a positive attitude, because your attitude, it's just positive simply because you're in very comfortable surroundings. But as soon as I take away your wife or your car, or your house or something else or your job, all of a sudden, you're not going to have a positive attitude. You're going to have a very, very negative attitude. So true positive attitude means that you're positive no matter what. It's not a fragile positivity. So how do we do this? Here are the core pillars of how to do this. And this is a very deep topic, so I'm going to go in other videos and cover these other pillars in more depth. But here's the overview. Number one is that you really have to buy into this idea and accept that the present moment is inevitable as it is. All right, you cannot be a positive thinker. You cannot have a positive attitude if you do not accept this. The present moment. Right now, what you think about the present moment is that, yeah, the present moment is nice, but there's something that could be better about it. Well, the present moment could be nicer if only I had blank. Fill in the blank with whatever you want. A thing or a situation or a person or even something about yourself that's different. But in the end, to have a positive attitude no matter what, to have a robust positive attitude, you have to come into this realization, this connection with reality, with truth. And the truth is that in the present moment, this moment right now, nothing could be different than the way it is. No matter how good or how bad you perceive it to be right now, nothing could be different than the way it is. It's inevitable. right? The current moment. So the future could be different, but the present moment cannot be different. It is what it is. This seems simplistic, and you might wonder, well, that kind of makes sense, but what does this really have to do with anything? How is this going to change my life? That's because you haven't really penetrated into the depth of what this principle really means. When you really penetrate into the depth of it, and you live from this place, and you can do this, what you're going to find is that if you just accept the current moment as inevitable, a lot of your tensions will kind of melt away. And a lot of the things that are bothering you right now, that are making you unhappy, are going to start to melt away. You're going to be accepting of them. Not in the sense that you have to tolerate them for the rest of your life, or that you don't have to do anything about them, but in the sense that for right now, in the current present moment, this tiny millisecond that we're living in, the now, that time is like locked in, and there's nothing you can do about it. And the stress that you're creating, the resistance that you're creating to it, the fact that you don't like the present moment and you want to rip yourself out of it, right? This is creating unnecessary struggle, which is creating a lot of negativity and worry and anxiety within you that is unnecessary. And in fact, not only is it unnecessary, but it's diametrically opposed to having a positive attitude. You can't have a positive attitude by definition if you're anxious and you're worried and you're having negative thoughts. So you need a way to drop those. And one of the best ways is to adopt this principle very, very deeply in your life. The next principle is another thing that you have to accept. And this is something that also people do not want to accept, is this idea that worry is useless. This is a very tough one, even for me to accept, that worry is useless. Somewhere in the back of our minds, and even in the front of our minds, we make all sorts of arguments for why the worry that we do throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year, throughout our whole lives, that worry is somehow justified, and that worry is somehow natural, and that's actually good, and that worry is what's getting us the results that we're getting in our life. So it might go something like this. Well, Leo, you're telling me not to worry, and you're telling me that worry is useless, but wait a minute. The other day at my job, I was so worried about the report that I had to submit to my boss that worry kind of lit a fire under my ass, and so I went off and I worked hard on the report, and then I finished the report just in the nick of time, and I made it by the skin of my tooth, and I turned in that report, and that report just somehow, it got me by. And my boss was happy. It held the situation over. But you know, if I look back at that situation, and if I take all the worry out of it, and if I wasn't worried about that situation, then I would never have gotten that report in on time, and maybe I would have been fired. So how can you tell me, Leo, that worry is useless? All right, so I can relate with this, right? I can make this argument myself. Oftentimes I do. The problem is that this is kind of a very disempowering way to think. And ultimately, the more work you do on yourself and the more worry you start to kind of let go in little places, what happens is that you're so afraid and you're so attached to your worry that you're like, no, I need this worry. You're like a little child with a blanket who thinks that this little baby blanket that he's been growing up with, that this is somehow protecting him from the dangers of life. And that's what you're doing with your worry, is that you're using it this little blanket and you're saying, well, you know what? I need it. If I drop and let go of this worry, then my life is going to turn to shit. And yeah, I mean, it definitely seems that way. But what you're going to find is that once you start let go of that worry, it's actually not quite as bad as you thought it was. And in fact, what you're going to realize is that as you're letting go of more and more worry, your performance is improving. Right? It improves and improves. And what you're going to start to find is that those situations, like turning in this report with your boss, that wouldn't have even been a problem if you weren't a worrier in the first place. Because the reason you probably got into that situation was because you were worried about it, and you started procrastinating, and you started building it up in your mind, you started having negative visualizations, you started having resistance towards it, and so you didn't do the work until the very last minute. Whereas if you weren't a worrier, then you would have just done it, you know, days ahead of time, and you would have done it even better than you did by doing it the last second. So that's one way to start to combat this. But ultimately, again, this is a very, very deep idea that worry is useless. Ask yourself, do you really believe that? Even I don't believe it at a subconscious level yet. I know it logically. I know I should believe it. I know that I need to in order to get the performance that I want in my life. But still, it's difficult for me to believe and actually practice. I'm retraining my mind every single day as I'm noticing myself worrying, that worry is useless, because I know that this is a core principle that needs to be put into place to have a positive attitude. And why is that? Well, because if you're worrying, then you can't be positive. And worry happens on a micro level every single minute and second of your day if you are a worrier. And if you believe that worry has value, then of course you're going to keep worrying. So it's not going to work. In order to shed all your worry, you have to honestly believe, truly believe, that worry is not serving you in any positive way. So that's the second pillar. The third pillar is to accept. Again, this is a pillar of acceptance. You have to accept that really cheerfulness is the best attitude and the best strategy towards solving problems in life. And really think about this one too. Do you believe that that's true? Do you believe that being happy, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how bad the situation is, do you believe that being happy is actually your best way out of that situation? See, most people would like to say yes, but then in practice, they behave as though they believe it's a no. Because what happens is that as soon as something catastrophic happens in their life, then all the happiness and all the cheerfulness goes out the window. It's like that becomes a luxury. And see, with this kind of mindset, you can't really have a positive attitude, not a consistent one. It's going to be a fragile one. If you want a rock-solid, consistent positive attitude, then you can't let negative circumstances come and dictate how you're going to feel. And again, if you think that being scared is actually helpful to you when a negative situation happens, or panicking is actually helping you to fix a situation, then you're going to keep doing that, right? Because you're going to think, well, that's the best strategy. I mean, if something horrible happens to me, obviously I should be sad or fearful about it because that's helping me to survive that situation. You might say that to yourself. Actually, that's not the case. That's not true at all. But your brain will certainly trick you into thinking that. It certainly will. That's your kind of survival instinct mode kicking into gear. But that's not conscious. See, to have a positive attitude means you have to be conscious all the time. This is a challenge. It's challenging to be cheerful in a tough situation. It's easy to be cheerful in a nice situation, but it's hard to be cheerful in a challenging situation. So this is an important pillar to accept. Now, strategy is an important point that we need to talk about, because a lot of people get mixed up about strategy and what strategy is. Some people will think that, well, I'm going to take some sort of strategy towards this situation that I'm going to encounter tomorrow, right? I'm going to make some sort of decision. I'm going to deal with my problem in some sort of way. And if the result of that interaction between my strategy and the problem, if the result is positive and it's to my liking, then my strategy was correct. And if the result was negative and it didn't go the way I wanted to, then my strategy was incorrect. That's actually not the right way to approach strategy. That's a mistake. See, proper strategy is correct regardless of the outcome. You might wonder, well, how can that be? Well, take an example, for example, like poker, right? In poker, there are very clear do's and don'ts for what kind of hands you should play and what kind of hands you shouldn't play. Because ultimately, poker is a pretty simple model. It can be modeled mathematically. And so you can run the percentages, and you can always, if you have a computer or if you've got a really sharp mind, you can always take a look at the hands. And if you see all the players' hands, you can always take a look and kind of analyze it, run the numbers, and say, well, okay, you should clearly fold right now, even though you have a strong hand. You should fold because the odds are against you. Or maybe you calculate it the other way around. So there are actual, like, odds, right, that you should be doing. You should be playing. But then sometimes if you watch, like, the World Poker Tour or something like that, poker on TV, you'll see that some players are kind of like mavericks, and they'll rebel against the odds. And even though the odds are against them, they'll still kind of play against the odds, and sometimes they'll actually win. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they are smart, that they're intelligent, that they have a proper strategy in place? No, they just got lucky, right? And so that could be happening in your life, is that you could be getting lucky with various decisions and strategies that you're employing. You could be getting lucky. That doesn't mean it's the right strategy. So what's the point here? How does this connect back to positive thinking? Well, the way it connects back to that is that this idea that cheerfulness is the best strategy, right? That's what I'm trying to convince you of, is that being cheerful no matter what is happening in your life, that means if someone dies in your family, you still remain cheerful. All right, think about that. I'm not kidding. Imagine that in your life, that if someone died that was close to you and you could still remain cheerful, what would it take for you to do that, right? That takes like serious internal self-control and discipline to do that. not in a forced way, but actually to genuinely be cheerful. Not that they died, but still cheerful in the moment. Because, I mean, what's the sadness going to get you? What's the fear going to get you? Is it going to actually help you? Is it the best strategy to live through that life problem? If someone dies that's close to you, is getting upset about it or sad about it, is that the best way to live through that problem? Or is the best way to remain cheerful? See, we know logically that the best strategy is to remain cheerful. But in practice, how many of us can actually execute that? Very few, right? This is where self-control comes in. This is where training and discipline comes in. Building yourself up and convincing yourself of these pillars. The more you practice them, the more you implement them, the more solid and grounded you get in them, and then actually take root in your life. And you can actually use them in tough situations. So this is why this is an advanced idea, right? You can see why this is advanced now, because very, very few people truly have a positive attitude in life. Now you might also have this objection or this thought that goes something like this. Well, Leo, okay, positive thinking. I hear you, it sounds nice, but isn't positive thinking actually dangerous? I mean, I'm a realist. Isn't it better to be a realist in life rather than to be this starry-eyed optimist and approach everything optimistically? Isn't realism the best approach? I mean, what if you're optimistic and then you're all that optimism that you have, all those goals and dreams and the outcomes you set for yourself, all those just come crashing down when it comes and kind of collides with reality? What if you're cheerful and you're telling yourself to be all happy and then someone close to you dies and then you're not able to maintain that? What happens then, Leo? Isn't that reckless? Isn't that dangerous? Aren't you setting yourself up for pain? And the answer is this. You are setting up yourself for pain if what you're doing is you're setting these hard expectations and you're very attached to the outcome. But it doesn't have to be that way, right? See, this is where discounters and naysayers of positive thinking will get it wrong. Is they'll say, well, positive thinking, that's going to set me up for failure. That's going to set up to disappointment. Well, the problem is that they're being positive and they're telling themselves, well, I'm positive and I need the outcome to be positive. And if it's not positive, then everything's going to hell. But see, true positive thinking is like being more relaxed, being more chill, being outcome detached. You're a positive thinker. You're thinking positive about the situation. That doesn't mean that the situation won't turn bad. That doesn't mean that you can foretell the future and you can get everything that you want to happen in your life to happen in the way that you want it. Never going to happen. On the contrary, it means that you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have things unexpectedly happen. You might have some sort of lofty ambition or goal for your business, and then it comes crashing down and, you know, the market comes and it crashes and your business crashes with it. Or maybe you have some nice expectations and you're thinking very positive about your relationship, and then your relationship ends in a divorce. That could happen. So I'm not saying you can necessarily prevent that in all situations. But the idea here is that if you're a positive thinker, you remain positive and you're not attached to it. See, if you're a realist or a pessimist, then actually what you're doing is you're like, okay, if I'm thinking positive, then I need it to actually pan out. I need it to be positive all the time. And of course, that's not going to work. That's a neurotic way of doing positive thinking. True positive thinking is like being cool and chill, and it's like, you know what, if it happens, good, and if it doesn't happen, you know, still good. Heads, I win. Tails, I win. That's what a true positive attitude is about. All right, so I'm going to wrap it up here. This is what cultivating a positive attitude means. It's really about acceptance. You have to accept. What do you have to accept? One, you have to accept the present moment as it is, completely inevitable. Number two, you have to accept that worry is completely useless and of no value to you. Number three, you have to accept that cheerfulness is the best strategy to go through life with. And you have to now try to live up to that, right? I know it's hard. This doesn't mean it's easy. It's going to be very hard. But if you're like me, then you see the long-term potential here. I mean, how awesome would it be to develop yourself internally so that you could have a true positive attitude about life, so that no matter what happens to you, you can remain cheerful, so that you're not worrying and you're not feeling like you have to worry because you know that the worry is not helping you, and that you're in the present moment and you accept the moment as it is. If you could achieve all those things, then you've basically accomplished nirvana. You've got heaven on earth. You can't, nothing can hurt you. You're untouchable. So this is a very powerful goal to set for yourself, is to cultivate this attitude over, over the months and the years as you're growing yourself and you're doing other stuff. Try to move your way and inch your way up towards having a true positive attitude about life. All right, this is Leo. I'm signing off. Go ahead, post me your comments down below. I'd love to hear what you think. Please like this. If you like this video, click the like button so that it gets spread around. And also share it. Share it with a friend on Facebook or somewhere else. And come check out actualize.org. Sign up to my newsletter. If you like this video, then all my videos are very similar. I'm talking about the psychology of life. How do you master your life? How do you master your mindsets? How do you master yourself so that you can go out there and put into place all the external niceties of life? Good relationship, good career, good business, good money, good health. You can do all that stuff. But ultimately, it's how to master yourself from within and grow yourself. To me, that's the greatest joy in life, is self-actualization, self-growth, self-improvement. And I'm delivering on a weekly basis tips, strategies, techniques, all the stuff that I'm actively researching every day for myself. I'm bringing that stuff to you, and I'm publishing it on my newsletter for free. So weekly, you get free updates, new articles, videos, other goodies that I have planned for you. Go ahead and sign up, and I'm going to keep you on track, right? Especially with this positive attitude stuff. This is something that you're going to have to baby step your way up towards. You're not going to get there just in one leap with one video. If you chip away at it over time and you grow yourself and you commit to this process of self-growth, constant self-growth, then you will get there. And that can be a very, very powerful thing. That is what it really means to have an extraordinary life. So go ahead and sign up.